I believe that that's what he's saying to many of us. I know it's a truth that he holds firm in his word. The word is living. The word is life. Jesus is the living word of God. God wants us to go deeper. He wants us to declare it. He wants us to eat it. The meat of the word. He wants us to digest the meat of the word for nourishment. He wants us to enjoy it and not feel that it's a task or it's boring or we're reading a history book. He wants us to enjoy his word. And he wants us to pray his word. The apostolic prayers, the prayers of Jesus. There's no greater prayers than to begin to pray those prayers with all of your heart and to pray the word back to the word. It's amazing. It is amazing. I'm going to change gears. Listen, when Roy came up here and started prophesying to us about humility, this morning I kept getting this thing about Nebuchadnezzar. And if you know anything about Nebuchadnezzar, he was a pretty evil guy. He was a king. He was the ruler of Babylon. And it was so far from kind of where I was going, but it was dealing with the aspect that God has the ability and the power to pull anybody down, no matter how high they think they are. And it had to deal with humility, and it had to deal with pride. And so I went to this scripture, and I read this scripture, and I was like, man, that really doesn't have anything to do with kind of where I'm headed today. But I kept getting it. So I want, if you could pull up on the screen, Daniel chapter 4, verse 33 through 37. And before we read through this verse, it has to do with great humility and what God will do. God will pull anyone down. And God's about to do some amazing things to bring about people that are hungry for him and worshiping him. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful ruler, the king of Babylon. The prophet Daniel included him in the word of God. So he had to be pretty important because God wanted him in the word. And so he was in the word of God. Babylon was an impressive city that this king was able to establish. Matter of fact, it had 50 temples of pagan worship. There were 50 different temples throughout this city that were worshiping pagan gods. The city was massively protected by a massive wall that was so thick that two chariots could go by each other on the top of the wall. It was that thick. He also did something, I don't know how he did it, but he allowed the Euphrates River, he engineered it where the Euphrates River was engineered to flow under the wall. So this Nebuchadnezzar, I call him Neb, he was a great general, a brilliant general. He was a brilliant administrator. He was a brilliant builder. But then God got his attention in a powerful way and brought him down greatly so that he would no longer live in his pride and his arrogance. Starting with verse 33, and this is when he was restored. And this is what the point I'm trying to make is the reason we exist, all of us exist to worship God and to give honor and glory to him. There's no other reason why you truly exist. So if you're buying some goods, you know, that, oh, I'm this and I'm that, well, you might be that and you might be this, but the primary purpose of your life is to worship God. No matter what, is to worship God. And when you begin to dive deeper into the word of God, it begins to stir in you because you begin to worship in spirit and in truth. Because the word begins to move on the inside of you and change you radically. And so the whole thing is about worshiping God. And Nebuchadnezzar, Neb, was brought back to a place that he worshiped and he was humble. Verse 33. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. Again, think of the attributes that I just got through sharing with you of what he had attained as a king. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like the bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Now this is Him saying this, proclaiming this. He'd come back to His understanding, and God had enlightened him, and all those other gods no longer took precedence in his life. He knew who was the everlasting King of glory. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. I believe even Nebuchadnezzar was speaking about us today. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and His ways are justice, and those who walk in pride, He is able to put down. Thank you, Neb. The Hebrew calendar speaks of 2013 as a justified year of restoration. The Lord wants to restore you. The Lord wants to bring forth His justice. So I wanted to share that today, Roy, because I didn't understand why I was even getting that, but I think it has to do with your word, because it's talking about humility. And let the Lord humble us. He will humble us. Because why? He loves us. Now, I don't know, you know, you can get into some theology about Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know if that meant that he was now, you know, he's in the kingdom of heaven. I have no idea, but I do know one thing. He came to the place in his life that he honored the sovereignty of God. He honored who God is and who God is to be. Now, there's a little handout that I gave you. It's a little word before I go into just a brief time to share with you this morning. I just wrote it down as a statement, and Liz Carey did it for me and printed it out. And one of the things that, before I even read this, I really strongly know that in this ministry, one of the areas that we're going to go hugely deep into is the expository teaching of the word verse by verse. And I spoke to David Raymer. Him and I have been praying about it and talking about it. And there's many others in this meeting even today that can teach the expository word of God. But we're going to start up here on Sundays to be teaching two things. We're going to be teaching the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which we believe strongly about, that it truly is the character of the Father's heart that He desires for us to walk in. And David Raymer is going to be teaching a lot of that, and there's others that may be involved. And I'm going to be teaching on the book of Zechariah, God's heart for Jerusalem, God's heart for His house, for His temple, for His house of prayer, and how this whole plan begins to unfold. So you're going to be getting the New Testament, the heart of the Lord for you, and you're also going to get some teaching on the prophecy that God is beginning to set up, and we will understand this Jerusalem thing and this Israel thing like we've never understood it before. Because God wants us grafted in to what's moving in that direction. I have no doubt in my mind. I really didn't get it before I went to Jerusalem and Israel, but God began to bring that understanding. And I told people, I've told some of you here, when I walked through the eastern gate of the old city, I felt the Spirit really speak to me strongly, and I turned around quickly and I looked and I could feel God, and I didn't understand what I was really looking for, but as I looked out through the eastern gate and I saw the Mount of Olives, I knew that Jesus was coming there, and He was actually coming right through that eastern gate. And when I got that, something happened to me. And it really did. I had a moment with the Lord. And I walked up to Ray Hughes. I said, that's the eastern gate. I mean, that's where He says, "That's right, you got a son." You know, that's basically what He said. "You got a son." And it was like, man. I mean, that was a small thing. But I'm just saying this. God wants us to have a heart of understanding toward Jerusalem and Israel. I've always prayed the prayer, those who bless Israel will be blessed, those who curse Israel will be cursed. You guys know that. You guys know that? Probably you've done the same thing. But there is so much more regarding that nation and our movement in it. Well, I'm going to read through this as quickly as I can, then I'm going to share a few things. Today I encourage you to go deep in the Word of God. Declare the Word, eat the Word, enjoy the Word, and pray the Word. What life, what joy comes from the Word of God being active in your life? There is a famine in the land, and that famine is hearing the Word and acting upon it. That's what I want to talk about in a few minutes. People aren't really hearing it. Although many preachers are out there, and many people are speaking truth. I'll explain that in a minute. Learn what God says about you. Don't speak defeat for your future. Speak life for your future. Don't allow yourself to get caught in the same cycles of negativity and negative speech this year. Don't allow it to happen. Fight it with everything you've got. And speak life and speak truth and blessing and honor to other people. It's not going to be an easy thing to deal with, but you've got to. You need to. I need to. Don't speak defeat for your future. Speak life for your future. Say and hear what God says about you. Say and hear what God says about you individually. Who you are in His sight. How He loves you. Know that the Scripture says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Know that Proverbs 6:2 says we are snared by the words of our mouth. Let's not be snared this year in 2013 by the words of our mouth. Don't be snared by the words you speak over your life, over your family, and over your future, and over your church or your fellowship or the ministry you're a part of. Speak life to it. God can bring about great change. I want to change. Do you want to change? I don't want to remain the same. I want to change. Don't be snared by the words you speak over your life, your family, and your future. Speak the words that will bring about change in your situation. Don't complain. Refrain from every negative word. The Scripture says, let the weak say that they are strong. Speak of your position of being highly favored by God. This past year, Zig Ziglar, some of you may know who he is. He's a motivational speaker, went home to be with the Lord. My heart felt his departure, and I realized that what an impact he had had in my life and so many other people. When I became a Christian, someone told me to listen to this guy, Zig Ziglar. And so they gave me these 6 tapes on changing attitude and having a positive attitude. And I found out very quickly that this man was a strong man of God and loved Jesus. And I listened to those tapes over and over. I was a trainer at a health club. And within 6 months, God gave me favor, and I believe because of these tapes, I was managing a multi-purpose health club and did it for 4 years. And I believe it was because I got the truth in me about who I am and who God could possibly, what He could do through my life. And if Zig Ziglar didn't show up for one of his seminars, I could have stood up there and gave all 6 of those tapes. I don't have them all with memory now, but I could have stood up there and spoke them out. That's how much I got that positive thinking into my heart and into my life and how much it changed me. God reminded me I need to go back through those tapes again. His position was that of a servant, a proclaimer of the principles of God, and he put them into everyday words and everyday life. What you speak, you become. Speak life. Speak faith over your future. Speak faith over your future. Your Heavenly Father knows what's best for you. Get His Word on the inside of you. Can you guys just say this with me? I want God's Word on the inside of me. Ready? I want God's Word on the inside of me. Let's say it again. I want God's Word on the inside of me. Get it on the inside of you. Let it have its way with you. Let it be when you start speaking about anything, the Word just starts flowing out of your mouth. The principles of it, the love of it. Speak life and faith in your future. Get it on the inside of you for 2013. Amen. Well, the point that I wanted just to hit, and I think I can do it in 10 minutes. This is a famine that I want to talk about. The famine is basically of hearing. And if you'll turn to Amos 8:11, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." I believe that that has been taking place. I believe that we've got plenty of preachers. I mean, come on, we got tons of preachers. We got tons of books written by Christian authors. We've got so much of the word available to us. And a lot of what we're hearing is truth. We're hearing truth. But there's something that's hindering the overall, let's just say America, something is hindering America of really hearing the word of the Lord. Because if they would really hear the word of the Lord, guess what would happen? There would be an immediate forgiveness and immediate repentance, because they would not want to live and know what was coming. So it's not the fact that there's not enough truth spoken. It's the hearing. And I'm praying and asking, because I believe we're in Amos 8:11, we're also in Amos 9:11, where the tabernacle of David is going to be restored. And the Lord tabernacles with each and every one of us. And a sound is going to be raised across the land. A sound of worship, the reason we exist. A sound of the proclamation of the word of God. It's going to be heard. But I just think it's being heard just a little bit by only a few. God said it would happen in His Word. I can tell you that it really is that way in Israel. It's almost like somebody's just turned off their hearing. But the time is coming where they're going to hear. And people are praying and believing. And God is going to move. The famine is the hearing. Humanity seems to be in some sort of stupor right now. And they're not hearing the word of the Lord. And I really repented and said, "Lord, I'm so sorry," this morning. Got on my knees. And it hit me. And I started weeping by myself and said, "I am so sorry." That's what happens when the Holy Spirit starts moving. We begin to be sorry. But I'm telling you, forgiveness is just the beginning. Repentance, when you turn away from things and turn toward God, that's what we're looking for. That seals the deal in our life. Not just being forgiven. God will forgive us. But are we truly repenting so that we can begin to hear the word of God? The famine is over nations, it's over cities, it's over regions, and it's over families. I believe America, like I said, is in that place. And maybe the reason why is because there are so many voices. There are so many people preaching. Maybe the reason why is that there's just so much thrown at us day in and day out that distracts us from getting in the place and really hungering and knowing the Word of God, or knowing Him in a place of worship and intimacy. I believe that we're drowning from all the things that come at us day in and day out. We're drowning. And we're not able to apply the word or to live it out. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying I believe that we are drowning from distractions and so many things that we do and feel are necessary to do. But God is calling us. And God is wanting us to return to His word. And I do believe that when the pure word of God is manifested in your life and through your life, there will be, you will rock wherever you're at. You'll rock your school, you'll rock your city, you'll rock your ministry, you'll rock whatever. If the pure word of God begins to manifest through you and you're not going through any motions, but man, you are hungry for the word of God. You're hungry for the meat of God. You're not settling for what I'm saying. You're going to get it yourself and have your own meal in Jesus' name. And then when we get together like this, it just confirms and encourages you to go after what God has for you. The kingdom of God is going to move forward because the word, the pure word of God, is manifesting through His people. That's what we're after, the pure word of God. Not no religion. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves. We want to hear it. We want to hear it, and we need to hear it. And when we hear it, I guarantee you, Worship will arise like it never has before. Amen. Amos 9:11. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. True worship, I believe, happens from the pure word of God. Let me read that a little bit farther in Amos. Let me go again. Amos 9:11. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair the damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. All the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in the land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Well, let me just tell you something. I read that now, and I saw every bit of that. I saw vineyards upon vineyards. I saw all different types of wine that they're making. I saw all kinds. As soon as I got there, I ate all these different types of fruit, and the fruit was fresh every day. There's no preservatives in their food. None. No preservatives. So it doesn't have a shelf life of 3 years. Okay? 1 week. Because everything is fresh. And there's vineyards, and there's greenhouses. It's just amazing. God's word is being fulfilled as we speak. It's right before us. And the tabernacle of David is going to be raised up. Men and women of God, don't play games with God. Men and women of God, let his light of his word begin to move on those hidden things inside your life that nobody knows about. Let his light reflect it. Men and women of God, humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. Men and women of God, crucify your stinking opinions. Crucify your stinking opinions. You get it? You got to lay all your opinions and let them be crucified. And then let the Word of God formulate in you your response to situations. Let's go deep after God. Let's go deep after the word of the Lord. Let's live it. Let's allow it. Let's repent and turn away from the wickedness that hinders us. And let's turn this city, let's turn this region, let's turn our areas of influence upside down, because we can, because we have God in our lives. It is not about you. It is about Jesus living out through you and what he can do in your midst. You guys are overcomers. You are awesome in the Lord. If I'm away from the Lord, I do not like who I am. But if I stay with God, boy, I know he's for me. I can have 10 people come up and slam me in a row. But if God is availing his love to me and I'm affirmed by the love of God, it's between them and God, their slime. Their words and secret is between them and God, not me, because I'm loved by God, forgiven, and walking in the mercies of God. And that's you. Let's stand. Amen. Thanks. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, that you want us to worship in spirit and in truth, your word. Lord, I ask that you would help us to hear that anything that's plugging up our ears, all of us, we say yes to you, Lord, and that our ears would be unplugged and we begin to hear the pure word of God that would bring this region, that would bring repentance to our city and our families. We thank you for forgiveness, Lord. It's awesome. But repentance seals the deal. So help us, God, to say yes to your word and to trust you. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that took place in this room today. And may it continue on. And may we be very aggressive at saying yes and seeking first your kingdom and reading your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give him praise and go in peace and ask God to help you be hungry for his word. Go ahead, shout it out and have fun. Enjoy your life in Christ.